Well, Graham Magooch, welcome to the Cwmni Bach studio today. I have to ask you the question that I always ask guests when they come in here, which is, where are you from?
Well, I grew up in Glasgow in Scotland, but I left Glasgow when I was 21. I went to Brazil, and for the last 20 years, I've either lived in Brazil or been backwards and forwards to Brazil. So my family home nowadays is in the city of Rio de Janeiro.
Okay. So, but you're based in London at the moment. How does that work?
That's quite a commute. So, 1 year ago, I took up a job with the Council for World Mission, which means that I'm now London based. And as I always joke with my colleagues, I have to go to the London office to speak English because the language of my home is Portuguese. And also, when I do speak English in the London office, no one can understand me because I speak like a Scot. So it's quite an experience.
So in Brazil, what did you do? What was your work?
So I worked in a university. I taught theology and religious studies for 7 years in a very small university that specialised just in theology and religious studies. And at the same time, I worked with many of the social movements in Brazil, the landless workers movement, and the movements for social housing in the big cities. And latterly in Rio de Janeiro, I worked in one of the largest favelas or shanty towns. And we were starting up a civil society university. So that was one of the major projects I was involved in when I was there too.
But as you said, since about a year now, you've been working for CWM. We call it ECOM here.
Okay.
See? Yeah. So tell us a little bit about CWM, the Council for World Mission.
Yes, the Council for World Mission is a grouping of 32 churches across almost all the regions of the world. It used to be called the London Missionary Society. So basically, from the British perspective, it's the non-conformist churches who sent out missionaries to other parts of the world to plant mission stations and then start churches in different parts of the world. So it gathers together churches now who are non-conformist, congregational and reformed in many different parts of the world. The largest part of the Council for World Mission today is located in Africa and Asia, but we also have member churches in Europe, the Caribbean and in the Pacific.
So this is where we fit in. The INDEB, INDEB yr Annibynwyr Cymraeg, is a non-conformist denomination, and we are a member of CWM.
Exactly. The Union of Welsh Independents would have sent missionaries in the past out to different parts of the world, and you would have done that through the different mission societies, one of which was the London Missionary Society. So that's where the association comes from. The Council for World Mission formed itself officially in 1977. And after that, it then moved its headquarters from London to Singapore. So today, the Council for World Mission has its headquarters in Singapore. It has 32 member churches all throughout the world, the majority in what we would call the Global South. But the history is located here in the United Kingdom and with the non-conformist churches and with the Union of Welsh Independents. And of course, what's interesting about a missionary society formed all those years ago was it wasn't actually formed in a church. The first meeting took place in a bar or a tavern in London. And so it's got quite an unusual history for a mission organisation. There's not many that were formed in a bar, but that is our history. Very non-conformist.
Yeah. I quite like that. I think in this day and age, we have maybe a vexed relationship maybe with the idea of missionaries going out into different countries. And I know that the Council for World Mission has evolved. How is it different to the original LMS?
Very different is the way to put it. Perhaps I can explain this by saying there are perhaps, in the history of missions, three basic phases. So when we talk about the London Missionary Society, we talk very much about churches in the United Kingdom sending missionaries overseas to convert people, part of the colonial project. The way of describing that is the West to the rest. So that's the first phase. When we look at 1977, when there's a reconfiguration of mission, we talk about a partnership of churches in mission. And this is to do with the fact that after the Second World War, many of the countries in Africa, Asia and the Pacific became independent countries. And when they became independent countries, the churches became independent too. They became indigenous or autonomous churches. Mm. And so we recognised that it wasn't anymore the churches in the United Kingdom sending people out to places, but the churches had matured in these areas and were churches in their own right and took their place at the community or the table of the churches as equal partners. So we move into a partners in mission, a partnership of churches model. Since the turn of the millennium, we've moved into a third phase, which we call mutual accompaniment in mission. Now, when we talk about mutual accompaniment in mission, we talk about getting alongside those in their daily struggles for justice, dignity, and life. And so the work of the Council for World Mission today is not focused anymore on mission as evangelism or conversion, but it's very much focused on mission as accompaniment, and particularly the poorest and weakest and most marginalised in our societies, and how we as churches accompany those people and places in their struggle for life and dignity.
Mm. So the Council for World Mission is very much about plurality of voices and equality, worldwide, global equality. I'm sure that some of the churches are larger than others. Do you think we have things to learn from each other? I'm sure we do. What kind of things?
So I think when we're in a community, we are like a family. Mm. A family not in an exclusive sense, but in the sense that we share our struggles with each other and we share our joys with each other. So one of the things that we can share and learn in Europe from the other churches is many of them are growing churches. Mm. Many of them are young churches. And that can be very surprising for those of us in the European context who look at our congregations, particularly on a Sunday, where they are aging and where they are dwindling. Mm. And we can be reminded when we sit at the table of the partnership of churches that that's not necessarily reflective of global Christianity. Global Christianity is actually growing and thriving and young above everything else.
Mm.
So that's something that I think when we sit at the table, we can learn from. And we can be inspired by to recall that the Christian faith is rooted mainly amongst young people throughout the globe.
Mm. I think this is something that's important for us as a denomination to remember, really, and to be heartened by and comforted by as well. What role do we as UWI, as the INDEB, have in this vast organisation?
I think one of the things that I've noticed, and it's just a short time, as we said, a year that I've been with the Council for World Mission, but one of the things I've noticed about the Union of Welsh Independents in particular is that it would be very much what we would call in global terms an indigenous church. Mm. It's rooted in the life of the people and the communities over a long period of time. It's actually very difficult, perhaps, to understand the fullness of being Welsh without understanding how the Union of Welsh Independents contributed to that identity through the language, through the music, through the culture, and through the permanence in very small rural communities dotted throughout Wales. And that makes it a church that carries the nation in some senses, in a positive sense. Mm. And I think that's something that some of our newer churches in the Global South have much to learn from, because sometimes it can seem like they've just been parachuted into places.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're with the Union of Welsh Independents, you get a real strong sense of belonging to communities, to carrying the stories of the communities, to preserving the memory of the communities. And I think that's a tremendous strength for Christianity.
Do you have a message for us in Wales, not just with UWI, but for Wales as a nation going forward in the 21st century?
Be yourselves, above all. I think the story of Wales in recent times is very similar to that of Scotland, of rediscovering itself as a nation and ensuring that those roots continue to flourish in new ways for new generations. You're obviously going through a very significant moment politically in the country at this time. And I think it's really important that the churches in Wales, all of the churches and indeed all of the faith communities, continue to play their role in wider Welsh society, because we recognise historically that Wales is stronger when the churches make their contributions to the communities and to the wider society.
So what about the dialogue between CWM and the INDEB. What do you think that should be?
So I think one of the things that we in the Council for World Mission are very interested in at the moment is life flourishing, taken from the idea of the Gospel of John, of life in all its fullness. And I think we're looking at different ways across the globe to places where life is flourishing, where life can flourish, and where life should be flourishing. And we talk about that in different ways. We might talk about it as ecology or creation, if you want to use a more biblical term. We look at it in terms of economy and the global capitalist and colonial system. We look at it in terms of our communities, our societies. Where and how do we see life flourishing? So I think those are the areas that we're interested in talking always with the Union of Welsh Independence. Where is it that you as a church are engaged and see life flourishing? Where is it that you as a church are working and serving and see life flourishing? Where are the places in Wales you've identified where life might not be flourishing and the church should be present to ensure that life can flourish once again? And those are the kinds of things that are of deep interest to the Council for World Mission.
I think as a small nation, we are aware of the fact that we are small. And as a small denomination as well, we think that that we might not be significant in the choir of voices around the world. But I think CWM draws us in a most positive way to that.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things about, I've spoken about the family and partnership of churches in the Council for World Mission, we find that all of our churches are very, very small. Even if they're in very big nations like India, you know, the churches in India can be very small in a very big nation. And that's quite a different experience from being a small church in a small nation. And so the idea of being small doesn't mean there isn't a significant contribution to be made, because we know that in India, the Christians are resisting huge religious intolerance. They're being persecuted, but they persevere with the witness to the gospel. They're a small church in a big nation. Many of our churches are very small. In the Caribbean and the Pacific, they're very small churches, but they make significant contributions to the life of their country, to their society, and to their people. And I think here in Wales, it's no different. The churches may feel themselves to be small, but they make a big contribution. And it's really important for us always to be reminded about that. And it's nice to be in conversation sometimes with other smaller churches who face very similar dilemmas and questions, challenges and opportunities.
Graham Magooch, I am heartened by what you've shared with me today. Thank you so much for coming in to talk to us. And may we continue to talk and to dialogue with the rest of the world.
Thank you very much.